Sci-fi.
Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is Starburns Audio Produced Podcast. One believer, one skeptic, and one guest. If you want to subscribe to our Patreon, go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. We have two bonus episodes a week.
Every week, two extra episodes.
And no new iTunes reviews. If you want to leave a 5-star review on iTunes, we'll read it on the air. Give you a little shout out. That's the business. Willie, how are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF, our good friend. You know him from the Beyond Yacht Rock podcast. It's Hollywood Steve Huey.
Hey.
What's up?
Here I am.
Hey, thanks for being here. It's crazy that we haven't had you on. It's insane.
I just our schedules didn't work out for some reason for a long time.
Yeah.
And then you remembered, hey, we haven't had him on yet.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
It's like the only way we hang out with people now. It's like, hey, who do you want to hang out with?
What's your relationship with sort of conspiracy theory stuff? Like, where do you believe in anything? I'm going to ask you this wow scale, but just generally.
Honestly, if the CIA is not potentially involved, I probably don't either believe in it or know about it.
Okay.
If the CIA is involved, then there's a good chance I'm gonna take it into consideration. Like, they probably would have done that. I don't know if they did do that, but shit, those guys were nuts.
So you're talking like the LSD thing?
Oh yeah, Project MK Ultra.
Yeah. Kind of, and then like what, the assassination stuff, like MLK stuff, and
that, yeah, you know, I mean, that kind of stuff. I'm a little dicier on because there were so many other people with motive,
right?
But, you know, it's something where I like, I can't rule it out.
Well, what are your Kennedy thoughts?
I mean, didn't Quincy Jones come out and say it was Giancana?
Quincy Jones, the music producer?
Oh yeah, he had that interview like a couple years ago or so, where he just was like spilling all the secrets all over the place. He was like, oh yeah, Marlon Brando was bisexual. He slept with Richard Pryor, James Baldwin, and Marvin Gaye.
Richard Pryor, okay. Who's James Baldwin?
The author.
Okay,
the famous black author that everybody reads in college.
So he had like a black thing. He liked black guys.
It sounded like he just would fuck anybody.
Hey, who wouldn't?
But yeah, in this whole big thing, Quincy Jones mentioned like, oh, Kennedy, oh yeah, that was Sam Giancana, something something.
I don't even know who Sam Giancana is.
I'm guessing
he was one of the big mob bosses.
Yeah, I was gonna say mafia. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's do the WOW scale then. So the WOW scale stands for Wade or Willie. It's from 0 to 5. If you're a 0, you're a Wade. If you're a 5, you're a Willie. Okay. Anywhere in between, it's a spectrum.
All right.
Wow scale. Are you a Wade or are you a Willie?
First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, do you believe that they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
I mean, it's a pretty big universe to not have any other life anywhere. So, sure, yeah, I believe in aliens. I don't believe that they visited Earth, though. It's just the distances in the universe are too damn far.
Okay.
It would take a technology that I can't even conceive of or wrap my head around.
Second question, do you believe in ghosts? Wait, let me start with this. Where are you from?
I'm from various places, but I grew up mostly in Big Rapids, Michigan.
Where on the hand is that?
That's okay. So if you're looking at the hand, it's about the base of the ring finger.
Okay.
Oh. About an hour north of Grand Rapids, which is about like right here in the
love line. Line.
Yeah, the love line.
So you guys were like, let's name our town Big Rapids. And then these assholes came in and they're like, we're going to be Grand Rapids, because that's better than Big Rapids.
Yeah, it's a game of one-upmanship, you know.
Do you have a rivalry with them?
It would be pretty one-sided if we did. Our rivalry is more with the neighboring town of Reed City. That's the Shelbyville to our Springfield.
Sure, yeah.
Let me interject first by saying, like, I really liked your answer because in it you admit that if they were visiting us, you wouldn't be able to comprehend that technology. And I just really like your answer. That's all. Because I think most people just answer like, well, it's too far to drive. I'm like, well, maybe they're not driving.
Yeah, maybe. You know, I don't know.
I don't know. I just.
All right. Great awesome. Interjection, Willie. Were you raised religious in any way?
I went through confirmation classes in junior high to become an adult member of the local Lutheran church. And as soon as I think it was about when I was in eighth grade, I got confirmed and my parents were like, okay, you're an adult member. You can make your own decisions on whether to go to church or not anymore. And I pretty much stopped going.
Yeah.
I would still go on Easter because that was the big thing you were supposed to do. Like, oh, that's the big one.
Sure.
That's the main.
Not Christmas main Eve. Christian you wouldn't holiday. Do the Christmas
no,
Eve thing.
It's for presents. Come on. But pretty quickly, it just sort of like once I had been through all these confirmation classes, like it was a fairly conservative church, and my parents are not conservative, and neither am I, and so the stuff that the church was trying to teach us was this, just this weird like social control kind of stuff of
sure.
like how you're not supposed to have friends outside of the church because they can corrupt you from your godly ways.
Oh,
but
fuck that.
You're also supposed to go convert everybody to this religion
yeah.
to save their souls so they won't go to hell. And like even like 12 years on, how the fuck is that supposed to work? Like how am I going to convert everybody to the religion if I'm not supposed to be friends with them?
Yeah.
Also, I'm shy and people don't like me. Like, how am I going to convert? How is this fucking scrawny little nerd supposed to convert everybody to a religion if they're just going to take one look at it and go, fuck you, you little fucking pussy? Like, that doesn't fucking work.
That's a good point. So yeah. Are you still spiritual at all, or do you still have faith?
Not in Christianity, no. You start asking too many questions, and then all of a sudden it's like, wait, none of this is actually how I see the world. I just don't believe any of this anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
If you put a gun to my head and said, join a religion, I'd probably do Buddhism because it's like the philosophical
yeah, it seems
underpinnings
like the chillest,
of it are a
yeah,
lot more in line with...
It's sort of the least rule-based...
Yeah,
theology.
It also seems like the most accurate way of viewing the world to me.
Yeah. I
like it matches up with the way I think more often than not.
Okay, all that being said, do you believe in ghosts?
I don't not believe in ghosts.
You don't have any ghost stories or anything?
I don't. Okay. I suppose I'm not a highly sensitive person in that area, but I just... You know, I'm not going to rule it out, but I don't have any like weird... feelings or anything that I've
yeah.
ever experienced of like, oh, that was a shit. I don't know what the hell else that was.
What about Bigfoot?
I feel like we'd have found him by now if he existed. I can't imagine anything that big is that good at hiding.
Oh, we haven't talked about this. Have you seen the new Bigfoot video?
No.
There's a new, so there's a, it's like a highway traffic cam or something like that, but maybe it's not because it's pointed at like the woods and there's this big clearing and then there's just a very Bigfoot sort of silhouette like in front of the, it might just be a picture. I don't even know if it's a video, but it came up in my news feed like the last couple of weeks. I'm surprised.
Well, I mean, I definitely have seen a lot of stuff you haven't seen in the past 5 years. But...
Well, but that's why I'm surprised that you haven't seen it, because I'm not even into this shit, and it came up on mine. Steve, what about psychics? Do you believe in psychics?
I don't not believe in psychics, but I've never met one.
Have you ever been to any psychics or
no.
anything? You never got your palm read or done tarot cards or anything?
No, not really. I think maybe like one person in high school might have read my tarot cards or
But that's just like a party trick.
Yeah, just like passing time on the bus on a marching band or something.
Oh, you were in marching band?
Oh, of course I was in marching band.
What'd you play?
I played the saxophone, the alto saxophone.
All right. Were you sexy?
Of course.
You're sexy about it? Good.
I played the saxophone.
The alto is the big one.
No, the tenor... Well, the baritone is the big, big one that you're not going to march with.
Yeah.
The tenor is like the one with the curved neck.
Okay.
That you would most often see
like in a jazz band or something.
Yeah.
Right.
And the alto is the one with the straight neck that's a little bit smaller and more compact than the tenor. And then the soprano is the straight one that looks like a clarinet that Kenny G plays.
Yeah. Okay. Both of those look not like saxophones.
Right.
Well, isn't the alto just a smaller version of the tenor?
It's got the same shape except for the neck. The neck is a straight angle down instead of that curve.
Instead of going up.
Yeah.
Okay. I was a drummer. I was the cool kid in the marching band. Superstition. Do you have any superstitions before these big marching band competitions?
I have neuroses. I'm trying to think if any of those qualify as superstitions.
Do you believe in superstitions? Do you do the knock on wood thing?
Just to be safe.
Do you kiss the ceiling when you drive under a yellow light?
No.
Do you know about that?
No, I have no idea about that.
I got that from my grandma. Like anytime you go through a yellow light, you kiss your fingers and then you touch the roof of the car.
Oh.
For safety, I guess.
No, if I go through a yellow light, I've got both hands on the fucking wheel.
And your foot on the gas, baby.
Yep.
Fuck yeah. Okay, that makes you...
I guess if I have any superstitions, it would revolve around just like... you know, if the Cubs are playing well, then maybe I'm not going to move from my spot on the couch until they stop playing well. I don't know.
You're a big Chicago fan.
Yeah.
But you're from Michigan.
Right, but my parents are both from Illinois.
Okay.
Oh, they push it on you?
Yeah, they got me before anything else could take root.
That's good, though, right? Don't you feel good about that?
Yeah, you know.
You'd rather be a Chicago fan than a Detroit fan.
I mean, I was a Red Wings fan, but I'm not like a huge hockey fan.
Okay,
like,
well, that's the worst.
I needed a Michigan team, dude. And they were actually good for a long time, unlike the Cubs and the Bears.
We had a big rivalry, the Avs and the Red Wings back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good rivalry.
I still go back and watch the big fight from 96.
Yeah, goalie on goalie.
97, yeah. Mike Vernon versus Patrick Waugh. Darren McCarty versus Claude Lemieux. That fucking piece of shit.
Which one?
Lemieux.
Ah, I thought you were talking about Darren.
No, Darren McCarty. McCarty's great. Everybody loves McCarty.
Not Lemieux fans.
No, because Claude Lemieux broke like,
here's the thing.
Jaw in the playoffs the previous year. Claude
Lemieux,
total fucking cheap shot.
Claude Lemieux was adopted into the Avs, right?
Yeah.
He was a Penguin forever, wasn't he? Or was he a Boston guy? It was yellow and black. Was he a Boston guy?
I don't remember.
Mario Lemieux was with Pittsburgh.
Oh, is shit. So maybe he was a New York guy. Yeah, it doesn't matter. So with Claude Lemieux, I was always like, oh, it's cool that we have this guy, but like, I don't really care about him that much.
He was a veteran that hadn't won his game yet.
Yeah.
He was.
So you're like a one on the scale. So you're like more of a Wade than a Willie. That's just for our listeners.
That sounds right.
Now the listeners can judge you as they see fit. Willie, what are we talking about?
Wait, hold on. I just want to see where Lemieux played.
I think you're right. I think he was a Ranger.
Oh, the Canadians, and then the Devils, and then the Avalanche.
Oh, fuck.
So the Canadians is where he played for the
most. That's the blue and red that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, uh-huh.
All right.
Okay.
What's the topic?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, America's Stonehenge, the Georgia Guidestones. Who the hell built these things? There's commandments on it. And if you look into it, every conspiracy theory can be attached to it. That's what we're getting into, the Georgia Guidestones. Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
All Okay, should we do the real life?
Yeah.
Real life. Here's what we know about the Georgia Guidestones. Granite monument erected in 1980 in Georgia. It's 10 Guidestones. Each of them is inscribed with, sorry.
Yeah, there's five Guidestones in 10 languages.
Let me just read this because I don't understand it. A set of 10 Guidestones is inscribed on the structure in 8 modern languages, and a shorter message is inscribed at the top of the structure in 4 ancient language scripts. Okay, so now you know that. Oh, here's how big they are. Well, that's the elevation. Who cares about that? Sorry, I should have read this more carefully. Here's the interesting part. June 1979, a man using the pseudonym Robert C. Christian approached this company and on behalf of a small group of loyal Americans. That's in quotes, so I guess that's what he said. I don't know. And he wanted to build this structure, and they were like, that's dumb. This is stupid. We don't want to do it. And they quoted him like an astronomical price because they were like, we don't want to do it. He'll just go to someone else. But then he agreed. And so he paid him like whatever this sum was.
And that's why you should always open a negotiation by asking for more than you're willing to settle for.
Yeah. The guy from this company assumed that this dude was a nut. And so that's why he was trying to discourage him. But no, so he paid him. They built it. Like I said, this is a pseudonym. So they don't actually know who this guy is. And, you know, that's as far into it as I really want to get. It kind of looks like Stonehenge, but it's much smaller.
Yeah, and it definitely... Well, I'll get into it, but... It's 20 feet high, yeah.
Oh, yeah, 19 feet, 3 inches, 6 granite slabs weighing, Jesus Christ, 237,000 pounds. And that's about it, as far as the real life stuff goes.
I'm just trying to picture how Spinal Tap could do a song about this.
Oh, yeah.
The Georgia Guidestones. I'd never heard of these. Have you heard of them?
I've never heard of these either.
Yeah.
So the guy's name was Robert Christian. So,
no, it was R.C. Christian.
R.C. Christian. Okay. So,
well, it might have been Robert.
No. Well, I mean, yeah.
Well,
but
the R could have stood for Robert, right?
But they don't say what the R or the C stands for.
No, Robert C. Christian.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So Bob Christ.
Yeah, Bob Christ Christian.
I'm going to assume that it's a pseudonym for somebody who's a descendant of Jesus.
Uh-huh.
You know, all the Dan Brown horse shit, like Jesus and Mary Magdalene had a fucking baby. Whatever.
Oh, that's fun.
I'm going to assume that's who that was, and mm-hmm. he's trying to do something for, I don't know, the conspiracy, the Holy Grail conspiracy, whatever that is.
You think it's just propagating the whole, like, there are clues in the Bible, and... It's all real, and this is another thing that proves that it's real, kind of thing.
Maybe they want to create the final resting place for the Holy Grail.
That's interesting.
Other than that, like chapel in France or wherever.
There are rumors that the thing is that this thing has sparked so many conspiracy theories. When I say it could be anything, there's rumors. One of them is that the Ark of the Covenant is buried underneath it.
Have you seen it? Here's a picture.
Yeah, I mean, it's very simple. But what's written on it is what we're going to get into. This, so let me just start by, well, man.
Is there a sci-fi angle on this?
Well, let me just go through some quick ideas real quick. Some more real life about it, I guess, a little bit. There are 10 commandments on it written in 12 languages. This thing was made to be a clock, a calendar, and a compass. So it is astronomically aligned.
Oh, I meant to say that.
There's a solar clock on it. You can, it works as a clock using the sun.
Like a sundial.
Sundial. Sorry, thank you. I couldn't think of that word. That's dumb out of all the words I couldn't think of. And also, it aligns itself with the solstices. So you can tell what season you're in and basically works as a calendar in that realm, too.
This year's a leap year. How do things like this work on leap years?
It should just remain. I mean, it basically, every 4 years, it would get a little bit off and then reset on the fifth year or on the fourth year.
Or would it always be right and it's just our calendar is resetting?
Our calendar is resetting. It would mostly be consistent.
Okay.
So a lot of, let me just throw out some of the ideas out there. One of them is that this was made by the Illuminati, and when we read the commandments, I'll explain why. Some people believe that this is the work of the Antichrist. Some people think that it's the New World Order as being separate from the Illuminati. Some people think it's the Rosicrucians, which are Masons.
Oh, right? I was trying to think of them earlier.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'll just say that real quick. R.C. Christian is the guy, is the pseudonym used to say who purchased it. Christian Rosencrantz was the guy who was the main Rosicrucian. So that's, it definitely feels like a call out to that.
Are the Knights Templar involved?
Well, no. I mean, I believe that the Rosicrucians and the Knights Templar basically merged at some point, but not particularly. This was started to be made in 79, and so this definitely comes from a Cold War time, post-apocalyptic world was on our mind.
That was kind of right before the whole satanic panic of the 80s started too.
Yeah. And basically the thing that I'm going to keep saying is that no matter what, the reason why it has so many ideas behind it is because it touches on a lot of people's fears.
Okay.
And so we're going to get into we're going to read these commandments and we can analyze them one by one. But
these are not the Ten Commandments. These are something else.
These are the Ten Commandments written on this thing.
But they're not the Commandments.
Nuh-uh. Yeah, sorry. Also, it says that there's a time capsule. It's written that there's a time capsule to be opened on this date, and there isn't a date written on it.
Oh, man.
So, it's fun.
I guess it's fun. Or did they not get their money's worth? Did these motherfuckers just not put the date on there? So how would you know when to open it?
Well, I think that's a part of the whole thing.
Is it a puzzle?
Are there a bunch of clues?
Can we just go to Georgia and crack it open right now?
So somebody was saying that there are numbers on the top of it, and nobody knows what the numbers relate to. And so in that realm, I think that there is a puzzle built into it.
Ah, awesome. This is like a Dan Brown novel.
Yeah. Okay, so number one. Oh, I got to read them. That's right. I didn't write them all down. I wrote down my responses to all of them.
Are they long?
No. They're all very short.
Okay. Steve, any theories off the top of your head? Is that a no?
I'm still sticking with this is a Dan Brown novel come to life.
That means it's fun. I think it's just weirdo.
It means that we need two poorly drawn characters, one of whom is an art historian and the other one of whom is a code cracker.
Shots fired at Dan Brown. You code do not respect crackers. His work.
Cryptographer. That's what I was trying to think of.
Okay, so check it out. A message consisting of a set of 10 guidelines or principles is engraved on the Georgia Guidestones in 8 different languages. One language on each face of the 4 large upright stones. So it works as a Rosetta Stone too, which is amazing. English, Spanish, Swahili, Hindi, Hebrew, Arabic, traditional Chinese, and Russian. So here's number one. Maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature.
500 million?
Yeah.
Whoa.
We were above that when this thing was built.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are we up to, 7 billion now?
We're probably 7 billion.
What's that?
So this is already calling for genocide.
Yeah.
And so immediately...
Like mass genocide. Like, that's like... Do the math. One.
What is it, 6 or 7 billion we're up
we'll
to
We'll say
now?
7, right? So if it's 7, then that's 14 halves...
That's 6.5 billion.
Like, kill 6.5... I mean, that's easily 90% of the population, right?
Yeah, between 80 and 90, yeah.
Jesus.
So that's the first one. And so that's why...
Also, I agree with that one. I think we should do that.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. So that's the first thing right out the bat.
Hey, maybe this coronavirus will accomplish this goal.
Let me ask you guys something about... Well, wait, let me ask you real quick. Should I say what I think the whole time or wait till the end and say them all and avoid...
No, do the whole time. Otherwise, you're just saying a bunch of shit and we got nothing to say.
So my problem is... Okay, it says maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. So right off the bat, everyone is like, this is fucking Illuminati. This is New World Order, because both of these entities talk about killing off the population.
I don't understand that assessment. I don't understand why the Illuminati would want to... Don't they want control? Why would they want to kill a lot of people?
Well, the idea between both of those things is most of the world's work has been done, right?
Okay.
We've got the infrastructure. We've got roads.
Yeah. I don't know how to run any of it.
Yeah, but you just save all those people. But like, from the Illuminati's perspective... Everything is in place. The internet, the phone, all like, so now.
The internet now.
All that's really left is to finish building all this fucking luxury housing in every city in America.
Yeah, and price everyone out.
Can afford.
But if you got rid of 90% of the population, then you have a ruling class and a non-ruling class, and the non-ruling class cannot do anything to get ahead. So the whole thing is, we've built everything. Now let's control and kill everyone. It's easier to control less people.
I wonder, do you think I would be a part of the ruling class?
No.
Not right now.
You don't think?
No.
Not right now.
How much money
you
do
could
I need?
Change. Because like Harmon's in it now.
Yeah, you're going to have to do like a Rick and Morty level like creation of your own to where you get in with like Elon Musk.
Do I have to be is it a 1%er
like,
thing?
You
no,
not a spaceship or whatever.
I don't think 1% is I think it goes a little bit beyond that, you know, probably 20%, which means that, like, there are regular millionaires in the 20%.
All right, I can get there. I'm going to get there.
Yeah.
I'm going to get there, and I'm going to fucking genocide everybody.
but now, like, we don't have to do genocide on purpose. We can just let it happen via climate change.
The climate change, yes. We can find a new virus that also has a patent. But whatever. Listen, the scare tactics for the coronavirus are pretty huge right now.
It's yeah, on every... you talked about that last
week. Okay, good. Okay, so let's go to... Oh, so my thing is, my perspective of the first one is, I think that the Guidestones were made for a future society, not this one. So maintain 500 million means don't kill anybody. If the world is moving on and everything's changed, like, you guys should keep it under 500 million. So I think it comes from the perspective from the future.
This is how you get, like, Logan's Run, right?
Yeah.
Like, the future, they read this and they're like, oh, okay, we'll kill everyone when they're 30.
Uh-huh. You've had a great life.
Which is bullshit, because everyone's stupid until they're 30.
Yeah, you know what? I that's how I feel too. When I think of like the Doors lyrics, I'm like, dude, he's fucking 19, dude.
Yeah, like who cares what this guy
and his
has
dad,
to say?
His dad was like a Navy general or something.
Steve, you're a music guy. What do you think of the Doors?
I like the sound of the Doors, and I think that Jim Morrison is a wildly overrated lyricist.
Okay, cool. I don't even like the sound
Run
of the Doors.
The snake. He got drug cred is what happened. He's like, well, I know what Ride the Snake means. And, like, nobody did.
Bake a cake.
Okay, here's a question. Who's the best lyricist that died before they were 30?
Oh, God, that's a pretty...
Well, there's only a few, yeah. Right?
All right, who... Okay, so we're talking, like...
Well, it's Kurt Cobain, right?
Kurt Cobain...
Morrison. You put Joplin in there.
Well, she didn't really write her own stuff.
Yeah, that's the problem. Well. Hendrix neither, right?
I think he did. I think he tended to co-write with his bandmates, but I think he wrote his own lyrics.
Well, how about this? They don't have to have been dead. Was Bob Dylan a good lyricist before he was 30?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was.
What was his main hit when he was young?
When he started out, he was writing like the folky stuff, like Blowing in the Wind and The Times They Are a Changin'.
And those are political, sort of, right?
Yeah.
Shelter from the Storm, when did he do that?
That was 75. That was on his divorce album.
Ah! So how old was he then?
What year was he born?
Let me look. Who are you talking? Bob Dylan?
Bob Dylan.
That's my favorite of Bob Dylan's. I'm also not a huge Bob Dylan fan. What about Johnny Cash?
I'm not either.
Do you like him as a lyricist?
Yeah.
He was born in 41. He's 78.
Well, that's young. That seems young to me. He's only 78 right now.
Yeah,
that seems young to me.
No, yeah, for sure. But I'm still like, holy fuck.
So if Blood on the Tracks was 75, then he would have been like 34 when that came out.
Oh, okay.
Shelter from the Storm.
All right. All right. What's the next?
That's
what's
great.
The next commandment?
Yeah.
I'll just say Cobain to answer your question.
You think
best.
What's the most? What's the most apropos poetic lyric that he wrote, in your opinion?
I don't think he wrote this because I feel like I'd heard it before he put it in a song. But just because you're paranoid, they're not after you.
That's catch 22. That's our. That's the ending of our episodes.
Oh,
that's how we close the episode.
Dude.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Number two, guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity.
So that's eugenics.
Yeah.
Wait, say it again?
Guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity.
It's sort of, yeah, it's, yeah, okay. So fatties, you're out. I guess that's how you could get it down to 500,000 people. Just anyone who's not fit can't fuck.
500 million.
500 million, sorry.
Yeah, well, I mean, the craziest thing to me about that is I don't want to openly say, yeah, that's fucking right. But then I go, if you do not care about your health, I'm not saying you shouldn't have children, but if you consider humanity as a pest on this earth that can infiltrate, or what's the word? I can't. What do you call pests when they take over?
Yeah,
infestation.
Yeah.
If you consider us just another species that could infest the earth in a bad way, then yeah, maybe we should consider. If you don't care about your health. You shouldn't have a kid. I don't want to say that on purpose, but if the future depended on all of humanity taking part in the future, then I see that as valid.
But what about nerds? Like, aren't they going to need people with brains who aren't in good shape to, like, think of stuff?
I mean, most definitely. But when you look at all the statues of the Greeks, it's like everybody worked out. Even the nerds. They may not have had nerds back then because they may have just died.
Right.
Which is what I think, but... And not to say that they had that many technologically advanced things.
Right. But, you know, they had a few philosophers and writers and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were pretty nerdy.
They had some brains.
But even when you look at... statues of their brains, like, they weren't like skinny.
Yeah, but who knows what they actually look like.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that too, that it wasn't, it may not have been.
I think it's more about like go to your level.
Like,
you know?
Like picture Putin having a statue made of him. You're gonna see some muscle definition.
Sure.
If it was naked.
Yeah.
So there's the Greeks in a nutshell.
Yeah, exactly.
And also the Greeks thought men were hot. And the Greeks thought men were hot
yeah.
the way that Americans think women are hot.
Yeah.
God bless them.
God love them.
Number three, unite humanity with a living new language.
So he's advocating for Esperanto?
Yeah, I'm glad you know that.
I don't know that. What is that?
It was supposed to be like this universal language that everyone could speak, like at the UN or whatever. And it was like they tried to.
It came from their religion.
It was like a synthetic language that they
Baha'i?
Tried to. Maybe that was it.
It came from Baha'i.
Baha'i?
Go on. You were right.
Baha'i is this religious faith that's kind of like, you know, every major world religion is basically getting at the same kind of thing. And, you know, it's all kind of different
thematic
manifestations of
we'll
the same
essential truth.
We'll
just culminate all of
truth.
Them. Yeah. And, yeah. Kind of whitewash it. And
In practice, it's very like, you know, multicultural diversity kind of thing. Very wants to be universal and
very
accepting
forward.
Of everybody. Yeah.
It sounds like a good idea. I feel like English is already that. Just everybody learn English. That way I don't have to learn anything.
Well, here's the problem.
Esperanto is like built on like different. It's trying
it's like
to
the only real
be
new
like
language
Latin as like a root language, but it's like drawing from different languages to try and synthesize them all into one that has roots in different places.
So theoretically, if you could grasp it easier if you learned two or three languages, you would have like, you know how you can like Italian and Spanish is similar, like
right,
you can
yeah.
kind of like figure but, it out.
Here's the crazy thing. It says unite humanity with a living new language. Our language is built off a dead language. So it's specifically saying, like, make a new one. And I think it's saying that because all the dead languages that built other languages, like, if I learn Chinese, I'm just not going to get it right because, I mean, I might, but I'm, but like,
but yeah, like,
but like the translation's easier if
grown up in that.
Yeah.
Style
so if
of
there's
language.
A new language that a Chinese person could learn and an American could learn, the differences are going to be smaller because we've both learned a different language instead of trying to interpret each other's languages. Because like you know how they say like the Chinese are so submissive they don't even have a no. They don't have a word for no. It's like no, but they have a negative, which makes things work as no.
This is just too much work. No one's going to do this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Also, if this is for a future generation, future society, who's to say they haven't already done that, right? So they're going to read that and be like, what? We have to make a whole new language? Like, we just came up with this one.
Yeah, well, I mean, what I like about it is, you know,
it's like when you write an email and it gets deleted and you're like, fuck, I got to write that whole email. I guess that doesn't really happen anymore, but.
But like humans are tribal, right? So keep your language, but everyone just learn this new one. Like picture in high school, we got to choose what language we learned. What if we all had to take this universal language?
That would be cool.
That would be way fucking cool.
I'm kind of into it.
What if that universal language was?
If it's going to be a living, if it's going to be a new living language, then it's going to evolve in different ways in different locations.
That's what very quickly.
Very very quickly. That's what makes it a living language is people adapt it to their needs.
Yeah. So that
accents are going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it almost seems counterproductive.
Those are good points. It almost. Is guaranteed to not work.
Yeah.
It's like Michael J. Fox saying everything's heavy, and Doc Brown was like, what?
But what if that universal language was AI? What if it was ones and zeros?
Well, I had already had that thought, but like, this is 1980, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, I don't know when these things were written, but there was definitely, there was already binary at that time.
Yeah, yeah. And if anybody talked about binary, it would definitely be from a theoretical, like, this is the future, instead of like, it's just yeses and noes. Because it was impressive. Anyways, number four, rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason.
Where are the commas in there?
Well, they're dashes. Rule passion, dash, faith, dash, tradition, dash, and all things with tempered reason.
You could have just said all things. I don't know why you needed. If you're going to include all things, then why say anything specifically before that?
Well, only to call them out, right?
It just seems redundant.
I agree with you that it's redundant, but I think it's redundant on purpose to say, hey, faith, whatever, all the things that you're passionate about, chill out.
Rule them with a tempered hand. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
I like that.
With passion, tempered reason. Faith, and
Tradition.
Okay, so this is basically like a libertarian arguing with you in a comments section.
Oh, is this why I like it?
Yeah. It's great, right?
So, you know, you're emotional. I'm using logic and reason.
We only wear skirts on important days.
Yeah, so it's like
whatever your shtick is that
you're arguing against emotion and religion and tradition.
Yeah,
so you're a tech bro disruptor, basically.
but it's very good to call it, like, hey man, like, you, whatever your family tradition is, you know, like, the world isn't doing it.
It's like, be cool. It sounds like it's saying be cool.
Yeah. Then this definitely came out.
I'm on board with these so far. I like all of them.
I'm doing. What's weird is,
especially the 500,000 population.
Everything that I've watched is so against them because they keep saying, like, this is fucking Illuminati. This is this.
Yeah.
And I really think the perspective has to be from the future, making the future when it has to be rebuilt.
Right.
Not fucking destroy this one and get rid of your religion.
Yeah.
So everyone's afraid of all of them.
So this guy is like, this is kind of bullshit, because he's like, I'm going to get ahead of the game. I know that we're all going to be, we're going to all die. What's it called when a species dies?
Extinction.
Yeah, we're going to be extinct. And I'm going to be the fucking Jesus of the next world. Like, people are going to find this and they're going to listen to me just because it was there.
Do you think this guy could have been like an Exxon executive who knew that climate change was coming and was like, I'm going to get in on the fucking ground floor of this?
I mean, would you guys immediately think it's one individual? Because we haven't even gone through half of them yet, but I think it's a group of like-minded people that came up with these.
Well, that's what he said. He came to the company on behalf of a group.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So you're probably right. I don't know why he would say that if he didn't. Because if he's going to pay for it, there's no reason for him to not be like, I'm the next Messiah. I want to pay for this thing.
But from that, though, I don't think it was his money. I think it was the group's money.
No, it was. What I'm saying. Like, yeah, it was a group.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason for him to lie about that.
Yeah. Especially since he didn't reveal anything.
All right, let's do number five and then take a break.
Okay, number five. Protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts.
Well, that's subjective.
Protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. I know, fair is only fair to the...
So he's not arguing for the eradication of national borders.
Right. That's
in a climate change world.
I mean, the thing is, because it says people and nations, it's also saying, like, yeah, keep your nations.
Well, that means it's not New World Order, right? Because don't they want one government or whatever?
That's how I feel.
Which I'm pro, by the way.
You're pro one global government? I think that going into space, I mean, I can't get over a one world government not being so corrupt that we actually, like, stop moving forward.
They would be corrupt, but it would be so much more simple. And all of us would just hate them, and that would be it. We would just have one enemy, and it would be great.
But don't you think that they would the whole time work on making sure we could never overthrow them? So you get, you know, you get your CIA, your FBI, your Homeland Security.
But that's what we have now. So what's the difference?
The difference is it's the whole world. Like, I still feel like a smart country. Like,
yeah, but here's I'm sorry to cut you off, but so, like, you see these Hong Kong protests, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, that's fucking China. I don't really care about that. If this were one government and they were rising up against it, we would be like, oh, yeah, we should get in on this. Like, we should do that, too. And I feel like the protests would spread easier because we wouldn't feel like segregated from them. We would understand.
We would pay attention to what they're protesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We wouldn't just like write it off like, oh man, they got problems over there.
They'll figure it out though. That I feel, I mean, I hate to say it, but I feel like that's the perspective that I innately have is like, well, shit's bad over there, but hopefully they'll figure it out. Like, I can't do anything about it.
Listen, I got to pay my bills. I don't have time to know what's happening in Hong
Kong. I know, and that's, to me, that's the problem.
Oh, it sucks. I'm not proud of it.
No, I mean, not you. That's society, you know? Yeah, yeah.
Well, me. Well,
I'm saying you can't take the weight of that, though, because this is a pretty comfortable society we're in.
Yeah. No, it is. Like, I think we're okay with being suppressed.
Yeah.
Because we've got the internet and TV, video games.
Legal weed.
And now mushrooms.
Mushrooms are legal?
Are they?
In Colorado.
Really?
And in Santa Cruz, they have okayed LSD and mushrooms.
I need to get
It's legal to do mushrooms in Colorado.
I want to get into mushrooms.
I do too. I definitely microdose.
That's what I want to do, yeah. I'm afraid of like the full trip.
I'm telling you, I am too.
I just want the microdosing effects.
I'm extra sensitive, and I took the fucking smallest amount, and I just felt so good. And like, it's definitely, I feel like it, my old bitter brain has gotten so bitter, and I feel like it's like cracked me back into not being as bitter anymore. I fucking love it.
What has?
Microdosing.
Oh, are you doing it now?
Yeah.
What? Fucking share the wealth, man. I want to get in on that.
All right.
Yeah, bro.
We'll talk later.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't done it in a couple weeks, but like it really turned me enough to like...
Dude, I fucking want to do that like so much. I have all these anxiety problems and shit. Like,
ditto.
I still, yeah, me too. And I'm telling you, it helps. But, you know, I still had a panic attack driving back from Eric's, man. I was so fucking stressed.
Why?
Because I had two beers and I smoked weed, but weed in me lasts for like 5 hours.
Yeah, try doing that drive with 8 beers and it's pouring rain the entire time.
Oh, shit.
I was fucking, oh, no. It was a nightmare.
Oh, my God.
8 beers over the course of a day. I wasn't wasted.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to finish the 5 other... what are they called? Fuck.
Guides.
Oh, because they're guide stones.
Guide stone guides.
I get it now. All right, we're talking with our friend Steve Huey about the guide stones, the Georgia guide stones.
Yeah.
You've got questions? We've got t-shirts. It's real life sci-fi t-shirts.
Hey, I don't know if you know, but you should know if you listen, but we've got t-shirts.
We've got them. You need t-shirts, right?
You know,
t-shirts, you can wear them to any... Listen, you throw a blazer on a t-shirt, you can wear it to a fancy dinner.
If you had a suit on, you could have a t-shirt on underneath of your favorite thing just to prove to yourself that what you love is still on the inside.
Right. And in even if you just put the blazer over it, people are going to be like, oh, this guy's hip. He doesn't care about wearing a tie.
You know, a popular trend I've seen is for someone to wear a hooded sweatshirt with a t-shirt on underneath.
Very popular trend. That trend's not going anywhere.
That t-shirt
get in on it.
Could be from your favorite podcast or top 8 podcast.
Or, yeah, one of the podcasts that you listen to occasionally.
After you listen to your
main podcast. Real Life Sci-Fi is the podcast we're talking about.
Now when you go to Tee Public and you search Real Life Sci-Fi, you'll find our shirts for, I guess, a year. That's not how it works.
Yeah, they were really hard to find. You had to like go to Willie's Twitter, get the direct link, and then you could find them from there.
It was broken. Well,
but
they
now,
fixed it.
TeePublic.com, right?
Yeah.
Just search Real Life Sci-Fi. Is there a specific way to search? Do you have to put it in quotes? Do you have to have the dash between sci-fi?
No, I just put it no dash, no spaces.
Oh, just like a password.
Fuck, I should check if they all work. But that's how I did it. Yeah, just like a password.
Okay, so go to tpublic.com, search for Real Life Sci-Fi, and you'll find our shirts. And they're done by artists who are friends of ours, and we get almost no money.
It's so little that I could make more selling you a shirt than I made it. Well, whatever.
Yeah, maybe we should abandon. Nah, we'd have to print them then.
I know. My thing is like, it's not about the money. I'd rather run it. I want to run into one of our shirts one day on accident.
That's like a 1 in a million chance. Whoa. There's no way.
That's me, homie. What? Hey, that's me.
So you would be the approaching one. You would be a fan of the guy for being
a listener. Who are you? That's me.
That's me on your shirt. Okay, so teepublic.com, TEE, and then public. I'm not going to spell it for you. Figure it out. Search Real Life Sci-Fi. You'll find our shirts. There's some good designs on there. Check them out.
Yeah. And if you want to give us a design, you can make almost no money.
Oh, do we do a sharing agreement with the artists?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. If you want to draw us something, because we've had people submit drawings, and I'm like, we should just put this on a t-shirt.
Yeah, and so the people that have made shirts for us, they make their own money. I don't think we make any money off theirs.
The artists?
Yeah, maybe we do a little bit, but not.
Oh,
not,
that means
not
we make
notice.
Like no money at all.
I know.
Okay, well, maybe not that deal, but if you want a t-shirt with a self-drawn logo on it, we can make that happen.
Yeah. Draw yourself and write Real Life Sci-Fi on it. Now this commercial is like 5 minutes on.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi. We're talking to our friend Steve Huey from the Beyond Yacht Rock podcast. Hey, what's the deal with that? Are you revamping it? Or
We've technically wrapped up the Beyond Yacht Rock podcast format. We did 100 episodes and 100 minisodes.
Uh-huh.
The episodes were fairly research intensive, and
yeah.
I was the only person who basically still had any time to do that level of research.
Yeah.
And then the minisodes are basically, hey, we answer questions from fans and Twitter folks about whether songs are yacht rock or not.
Right.
And those were a lot easier to do, but we also kind of felt like we can't just do that as a podcast. So we're kind of trying to come up with a new format that will let us keep going and engaging and you know, figure out a way where we can talk about stuff and have it be entertaining, but not have to do nearly as much work going into it.
Yeah, because ultimately, you guys, your personalities and your music knowledge can be used without the research.
That's what we're hoping, anyway.
Oh, it can. I mean, listen, we've done like 200 episodes of this, and we don't know shit.
Yeah. Even when we do know, we're wrong.
What was the most? What's the most? I can't think of how to phrase this. What's the most requested? Like, is this yacht rock musician?
Oh.
Don't say Jimmy Buffett.
No, he fucking sucks, and he's not yacht rock.
And have you been to a Jimmy Buffett show?
No.
I mean, I don't think so.
You didn't put on your parrot head
music in order to do that, and that's just not going to fucking happen. I'm not going to pay money to listen to Jimmy Buffett.
Wait, weren't you? What were you for Halloween?
I was the most hideous, terrifying thing of all.
Yeah. That's what. Because I remember talking to you about going to a concert. I'm like, wait, you didn't go.
Yeah, no, it was
you were Parrothead for Halloween.
My Jimmy Buffett shirt was a gag gift from my friends who know perfectly well my feelings on the subject of Jimmy Buffett.
Can
and
you
his
explain
shit music.
To me the hate of Jimmy Buffett? Because to me, he's innocuous. He's just some music that I don't care about.
It's partly that the music is really, really simple. Like we were talking about Kiss during the break and how they're not very good at writing music.
Right.
Or playing music.
Yeah.
Jimmy Buffett is kind of the same thing. It's very simple music, but also the lyrics are
annoyingly
so
simple.
Goddamn stupid. It's just, if you look up fatuous in the dictionary, it's got a picture of Jimmy Buffett next to it.
So is Jimmy Buffett your most hated musician?
He's definitely up there. I'm not sure he's number one, but he's definitely like top three.
You know what's made me laugh for most of my life is when I think of the song, because in Colorado and Nebraska, Jimmy Buffett's huge. And I went to like a date.
Right, because they're landlocked.
Concert. Yeah. And everybody,
we're just dreaming about the ocean, man.
Everybody was doing these dances that I didn't know. Like, you know, they had the shark heads, they had the parrot heads, there were all these dance moves through the whole concert. And
that sounds awful.
I just remember, the line that's made me laugh my whole life is in Cheeseburger in Paradise. And it breaks down and he's like, I like mine with lettuce and tomato. And he's just listing off the ingredients of the burger that he likes. I'm like, I will never stop laughing at that. I'm like, dude, what are you? Is this a song?
But when you're writing
and it's the least imagination he can possibly put into it.
Yeah, he doesn't say like mushrooms. Even mushrooms would be more interesting because not a lot of people
cheese.
Put mushrooms.
It's about a song about a cheeseburger. You didn't even say cheese.
Well, you don't say it's called a cheeseburger. Why would
but you
list
off
the ingredient?
Oh, I guess you're right. He didn't say burger.
Fuck. He's like, I like my sandwiches on bread.
All right, let's get back to the Georgia Guidestones. We just did number five.
Wait, did I answer your question?
Well,
oh, no, you didn't.
Who's your most? Well, yeah. So who's
the most confused?
Yeah, for yacht rock.
I think it's probably got to be stuff like the Eagles or Fleetwood Mac. That's like kind of adjacent to that whole Southern California scene, but not really the same sound that we're like when we're talking about yacht rock. We're talking mostly about like kind of more sophisticated, like jazzy post Steely Dan kind of pop.
If I put a marimba in my song, is it immediately yacht rock?
No, you have to throw some weird chord changes in there with some jazz harmonies that you learned at music school.
Okay,
you gotta modulate the chord progression so that it goes somewhere unexpected. Then you can do the marimba solo.
Okay, cool.
Did Steely Dan teach you about Bodhisattva?
Yeah, he came and took me by the hand.
But did you learn about the concept from the song?
Actually, yes. Because I know that's a Buddhist word, and it's probably Sanskrit-derived, but what does that mean? Like, oh, okay. It's
so
like,
when you watched, what's the Patrick Swayze movie?
Roadhouse?
With Keanu Reeves.
Dirty Dancing?
Point Break.
When you watch Point Break and you found out his name was Bodhi, did you immediately think Bodhisattva? Because I know most people didn't.
No.
This is just your brain, Willie.
Oh, no, but that's what he's named after. So I didn't know
also,
if anybody knew
interesting,
that.
Oh, interesting.
Buddha achieved enlightenment sitting under the Bodhi tree.
But you, even knowing all that stuff, didn't think Bodhi was that in Point Break.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily have, until I looked at the credits, I wouldn't have known it was that kind of Bodhi.
Word. I'm only checking because I learned that and it blew my mind and I was like, I don't think anybody knew that. I don't think anybody connected
those. That's news
those
to
dots.
Me. So. I've also never heard of Bodhisattva.
Bodhisattva is enlightenment. It is the...
Yeah, I gleamed it.
Yeah,
it's like a learner.
I Bodhisattva'd it. I think I'm using it correctly.
All right, here we go. Number six. Let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court.
Okay.
So like the UN, but with a court.
Yeah, the UN, but like actually like more important.
The world court.
Yeah, because UN's bullshit, right? What's your guys' stance on the UN? I'm like, I think the UN is full of shit because they have no power. And they try to push a power onto the world.
I'm not educated enough to speak on the UN. I don't think you can call yourself United Nations unless every nation is in it, right? But then it's voluntary, so you can't force people into it.
Yeah.
Well, who's not in the UN?
I don't know, all those shit countries.
Well, you know, like, you know, just it's really just a collection of
It's a collection of superpowers, right? And then,
yeah,
like,
they teamed up because, like picture.
I'm sure a lot of those Middle East countries are not in it.
Yeah, there's a lot that aren't. You know, like they have their own. What is it? OPEC. I know that that's an oil thing, but there are other conglomerates of things that work together that aren't in the UN. Well, I'm not intelligent enough to talk about it anymore either. I don't remember a lot
anymore.
I mean, I just forgot a lot of it. I always thought that I would. Even though I thought I would never leave the small town, I also thought I would join the UN. That I would work with them.
What? Really? You aspired to work with the UN?
Oh, there are only two countries not in the UN: Palestine and the Vatican City.
Is that true? Really?
This is according to the first Google result.
Wow, I thought there was way more countries not in it.
There are 196 countries.
They don't even count, right? Those are like fake countries.
Well, Palestine should count, but they won't. Basically, the United States won't let them in.
How is everyone else in the UN?
There was a form. Country. You get to be in the UN when you're a country.
They sent a fucking letter and people returned it.
Yeah, they sent out a membership packet when you declare independence. And
I'm thinking of Israel. Palestine should count.
Yes, Palestine should count.
Vatican City should not count.
No.
Did you guys watch that Two Popes movie?
Not yet.
It's decent. I liked it.
I got the screener. I just haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, I haven't watched much things. When you see most things that I've watched, that when they read this, they're like, "Oh, one world government," which is like contradictory within the sentence.
Yeah, there's been two so far that are basically saying like, "No, there's still nations."
Yeah. So I mean, like, I'm telling. Yeah.
Let's go on to seven.
Number seven: avoid petty laws and useless officials.
God, I agree with all of these.
I do too. I really do. When I first got into this, I was freaking out going, "Fuck, dude, Illuminati." Now I'm like, these are all great.
Yeah, this just seems like rational thought.
Yeah.
Outside of the 500,000 thing.
Like, it's not saying, fucking avoid petty laws, you know?
Yeah, like jaywalking.
Yeah, not moving your car in 72 hours. I got one of those because we don't have street cleaning.
You got one of those? Yeah. I didn't know they gave those out.
In our neighborhood, they do, because we don't have street cleaning. So you have to move your car once a week.
Well, that's everywhere.
Oh, well, since
you
we
can
don't,
just get a ticket.
Since
for
we don't
street
have
cleaning.
Street cleaning, though, we've had that's the second one I've gotten. I had a car towed because we didn't move it in time, and it was while Shauna was pregnant.
See, that's both. That means one of your neighbors is a narc. That's like calling that shit in.
Because
no fucking meter maid or whatever is like.
I think there
keeping
are,
track
you know
of
how
that.
Like I don't drive the Mustang that much.
Yeah,
there are a lot of cars in our neighborhood like that, where they don't have a garage, so they have to keep moving it. So there's a rotation of cars that happen, and so I think somebody's really pissed off about it. And if you park in front of their house for a long time, they call you.
Fuck, that sucks. I've definitely left my car for more than 72 hours.
Yeah,
I had friends who used to live here. They had a house up in El Sereno before the economy crashed, and they short sold it to get the fuck out of LA. But I would use, before I had a parking spot at my current place, I would just, if I went out of town, I would like park my car next to their house, and they would, and I'd be like, "Yeah, okay, here's the keys in case you need to move." They're like, "Yeah, whatever, we're not going to move it. Nobody gives a shit." Because they don't have street cleaning up in El Sereno.
Yeah. I do that with Burbank. Now my Burbank connection has moved, so I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Moles is there.
Okay.
He's over by the Holiday Inn.
All right. That's close enough to the airport.
So the number eight, balance personal rights with social duties.
Well, that's what America has no idea how to do.
No, right? Never, ever.
Well,
like
so
any hint of a social duty, any hint of any obligation to any other people, and people are like, "Ah, communism!" Ah!
Yeah, this is why I like
this
Canadians
is the
so much.
Of the collective, it's abridging my individual freedom. Ah!
Whenever I say Canada is just grown up America, I'm like, yeah, they they still feel like they're a part of a society. They have civic duty, and they talk to their neighbors. And not that you need to talk to your neighbors, but you know what I mean? Like, we've lost all that because of our freedoms.
You don't know that Canadians talk to their neighbors. They're probably the same as us. If someone rang my doorbell right now, I'd be like, who the fuck is that?
I had a friend at work today saying that a smoke alarm was going off in their apartment, and their neighbor came with a flashlight and looked through their windows. The neighbor told him this, and he was so weirded out by it. He was like, they were looking through my windows. Like, and my immediate response was, he's looking for a fire to see if he should call the police. I think that's very nice of him to do.
This is one of my fears, is that, like, the people below me will start a fire.
Yeah.
Like,
I fear that a lot, too. I'm like,
I don't want my building to burn.
We're good with moose, but the neighbors aren't. They all, you know, who knows? You can't speak for them. So, any party, any left a stove on? I've left the stove on, you know, whatever.
How does that happen? How do you leave the stove on?
Well, I was boiling some water, and I forgot about it, and the water had boiled out of the pot, so the pot's just heating up.
Oh, I did that too.
Yeah. You're both going to burn your fucking buildings down.
Metal doesn't burn.
Your neighbor should be afraid of.
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know. I live next to Ridley, and he's constantly going like, hey, go check my gas. I think maybe
I
left it on.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, dude, all right, I'll go check. I don't think you did. And he never did.
Yeah, I mean, that's a no-brainer, right?
What's defined social duty? You know, like, how do I know?
Well, I mean,
stop pooping in the river.
Yeah, more pooping in society.
Yeah.
Poop in the field. I know it can help grow the crops.
Yeah. It's very vague. It is extremely vague, but...
Like, what are my duties in a society?
Well, voting. I think that's a social duty. You have to vote. I know I know that's not on par, because that's more political than actually being a part of a society. But I think to make it work.
But like, if there's a homeless guy, do I have to take him in? Is that a social duty?
No, but I.
It would be a personal duty to take him in, not a social duty. Yeah. But a social duty would be like, chip in and pool our resources so that there aren't homeless guys. Like, put them in a fucking house.
Hard pass on that. I'm not doing that.
Well, Denver was one of the first cities to do something about it, where they took an abandoned complex and put homeless people in it. Like, that was pretty amazing. Like, we're fucked over here, but...
Yeah, I mean, there's all these studies coming out now. Like, the best way to combat homelessness is just put people in fucking apartments.
Right.
And then, like, a lot of the problems that... Like, it helps people clean up. It helps people get jobs. It helps stabilize them to the point where they can start reintegrating themselves into society again. Yeah.
I think in this day and age where our government has billions of dollars, why can't that be one of the things, you know?
Yeah. You know what?
Could we just build one less missile and, like, house all of the homeless
dude,
people?
Honestly.
But the jobs, Wade. The jobs of the people building the missile.
Yeah.
One less. Just take it easy for a day on your job building missiles.
You know what? Go ahead and build it. Just sell one. And the money you make from that. Keep building it. We don't want to take your job away. Just sell it.
The other part is there's a significant portion of this country who... They're just obsessed with people getting things they don't deserve. It's like there's so many people in this country who are like kindergartners who saw somebody else get a cupcake.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're just fucking throwing a tantrum.
Oh, but that same tantrum will get like states behind them.
Yeah.
I'm like, no matter what you think about a person's lifestyle, they still didn't make enough. Like, you know what I mean? Because, like, a lot of times the lifestyles judge. We're like, well, she's got six kids. She shouldn't have had extra kids.
Well, she's not doing well because she deserves to not do well. And I'm doing well because I deserve to do well.
Yeah.
I did the thing right and they did the thing wrong. I'm in perfect control of my destiny because I do all the things right. Nothing bad will ever happen to me.
Yeah.
Bad things happen to other people because they deserve to have those bad things happen to them.
Yeah, and whether it's
a just world fallacy,
whether it's religious or not, that idea of well, even if it's karma, you know, like, well, they did something bad, so they, whatever's happened to them,
they must have deserved it because the world is definitely fair.
Oh, that's so scary.
It was a very petty thing. Like, if you can afford your apartment, even though it's a struggle, would you want to go through the trials and tribulations of someone who can't afford an apartment to get a free apartment? Like, I don't think anybody ever factors in the opportunity cost of, like, if you're homeless, getting a free apartment. Like, no one wants to live through that just to get a free apartment, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, isn't that how they paid for it? By, like, being on
by
the streets?
Going through misery?
Yeah.
it really is just that kindergarten or cupcake thing. Like, they saw someone else get a cupcake.
Yeah,
they
didn't
get one.
And my point of view is, like, buy a fucking cupcake, man.
Yes, exactly.
You can afford it. Just go buy one. Yeah. Who gives a shit?
That's like, I've seen videos of people that, like, you know, will hurt motorcyclists because they get to drive through the traffic.
Yeah, that shit is fucked up.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
It's like this weird petty. Yeah, it is like a kindergarten thing. Like, why does this guy get to go faster than me just because he has a motorcycle? God, it's so stupid. People are fucking dumb.
Yeah. Well,
this country is just collectively emotionally arrested.
Here we go. Prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite.
I'm not into this one.
This is really vague. It reminds me of that Simpsons bit where they're discussing poetry at the military school, and they're having this argument about whether truth can be beauty if the truth is ugly. But, like, truth is beauty, beauty, truth, sir!
Yeah, it is vague. And then also the seeking harmony with the infinite, like, that's what I subscribe to. But it's very, to me, it's on the level of saying, like, you know, trust Jesus. It's like something that I believe in that I can't expect everyone else to.
It's harmony hard to know with the infinite. Infinite, too.
Yeah, what is the infinite? Also, it's ambiguous. Like, what is beauty? You know?
Yeah, beauty is what, I don't know, it's not what ruined. Beauty's rough. You can't put beauty and love in the same. I understand maybe, you know, the beauty of when you're looking at nature and stuff, but, like, if it's about people, then it's maybe it's not about people, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's so vague that you can interpret it to be.
Yeah, it's ambiguous. It's like, what is beauty? Is beauty a fucking butterfly emerging from its caterpillar cocoon?
And then, you know, truth.
Is beauty an ant who works in line with the other ants? Is beauty a dog?
Can is beauty a hot chick?
It what if,
yeah, or is beauty a hot chick?
And when it comes to truth, what if Lex Luthor was trying to do something better for the society? But you
Lex
know,
Luthor had some good ideas, man.
And then, but you just knew he was a bad guy.
Canceled over that.
Someone will edit in Hitler. I'll give him all the sound bites they need.
Some football coach in Michigan just got fired. From
yeah,
college
I saw that.
For
I saw that
saying that if he could have dinner with anyone throughout history, he'd pick Hitler because of what a great leader he was, and prefaced it by saying that he shouldn't say it.
Yeah. He's like, I probably shouldn't say this. I'll have dinner with Hitler because I want to pick his brain on how he led a bunch of people, like how he inspired a bunch of people. And then he got fired, but he got a settlement out of it, so he's going to be okay. It's not a bad... So here's the thing. He's a meathead football coach, and he's like, I can't get my players to listen to me.
And this has been said a million times before. He's a great leader.
Well, yeah. He wasn't saying the leader thing so much as, like, giving a speech to inspire people, I think, is
taking his job as a leader of men way too seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's a fucking offensive coordinator at a small college in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? Nations got behind him. Even though he was wrong, he must have been the best leader.
These wide receivers.
So how can I get my offensive line to block better?
Why won't these wide receivers take me seriously? If I only had Hitler's powers.
I'll never not think about this.
All right, what are we on?
Number 10.
All right.
Be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature.
That goes back to the 500,000 thing.
Million.
Oh, is it 500 million?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. People than this guy does.
I'm sorry. I keep doing that. Fuck. But my point stands, right? They're saying, like, because, you know, that's the Matrix thing.
Yeah.
We're a cancer of a species. We just devour everything that we come upon.
Yeah. We multiply and destroy. And
hey, does China still have that thing where you can only have one kid?
No, I think they got rid of it.
Really? I don't think so.
I thought they did.
I feel like they did.
Oh. Because they're just running out of women.
But maybe it's yeah, loosely two.
What, you can't have more than two?
I've never... Maybe that's just a mindset that makes them go like, okay, we can have more than one, but that just means two.
I think it's a good idea. I think we should do that.
I think it's an interesting idea.
But here's the thing. I could loan you, if you want to have three kids, I'll be like, I'm never going to have a kid. I'll loan you mine. I'll write it. We'll make a document. Then if I ever have a kid, I'll just have to kill mine.
You know, if you have these conversations before you have kids, then it works out easier.
If you have, okay, what do you mean?
You have to have the in your mindset that your kid is expendable, not their life, but that someone else can take care of them. Because when you think of everybody's situation in life, you know, you think about what you've become despite your parents.
Uh-huh.
Parents don't matter as much. And so you could give up a kid if you trusted someone. I'm just saying, like, I don't know.
Oh, you mean adoption?
I'm just trying to justify giving away a kid to a friend.
I meant the idea of having a kid. Like, I'll never have a kid.
Oh.
So you can have mine. That way the number stays the same. I didn't mean I was putting my kid up.
I thought that's what you're saying. Like, if I had six kids, I'd be like, I could give my sixth kid to a friend that wanted it. Probably not. I'm just talking out loud.
So the China did relax the one-child policy. There were always long-standing exceptions for rural couples because I guess they need kids to work on farms.
Oh, word.
urban families can now have two children if one parent, rather than both parents, was an only child.
Oh, wow. So it's still in effect, and it's kind of saying what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's like, hey, you can do it, but like you had to come from the system that worked before. That's crazy
now,
that's part of it.
No, there's an update to this. They're planning to abolish the policy and allow all families to have two children to, quote, improve the balanced development of population because they ran out of women.
What, I don't know what you mean by they ran out of women. They're having too many boys?
So what would happen?
There's a preference to have boys. So if you can only have one child, they want a boy.
Oh, and so...
So there's like 20% fewer women than there are men. And the
well, they're like killing their female children.
Yeah, mysteriously, the women don't happen all the time.
I don't think it's mysterious.
You only get one, yeah.
They just put them in a bag and throw them in a river.
Oh, okay, well, this isn't the one. Damn it, that sucks. I never considered that. I never thought about that.
Yeah, no, that was a thing.
So this 10th one to me, because the last sentence repeats itself and I've heard that there are numbers on top, I don't feel like it repeating itself is trying to be poetic. I think that it repeats itself to have some Dan Brown code happen.
What is the actual repetition that it says?
Well, the whole thing is be not a cancer on the earth, leave room for nature, leave room for nature.
Yeah, so like there's like some, oh, you take the first A in the first nature and then the T yeah. in the second nature.
I feel like there's a code in it and this will help you finish the code, the last one.
So let's get into that then. Like, what do you actually think this is?
Oh, but the thing is I don't, okay. So like, I don't know the code, right? And I have no idea. My whole thing is, I feel like this was an idea by a secret society that could have been the Rosicrucians. I feel like they mixed with our Masons. Listen, the more I learn about the Masons, the more I'm like, yes, I'm definitely going to be a Mason. And I feel like the Rosicrucians were intelligent people that knew that they were ruled by an idiotic religion, you know, that like society should not be ruled by religion. They had their math, they had their science, they created languages, they had secrets, and I believe the secrets were probably on par with secrets of the universe as opposed to secrets of bloodlines. So I think that the Rosicrucians made this, and they probably thought that we would die in nuclear fallout, and that they really did, they cared about the future enough to just have something out there that had their ideals of what should be working now, even if it were to troll everyone of today to be like, oh, we should aspire to these things. Here's some ideas put forth.
Right.
But nobody's claimed anything, right? Nobody's come forward and said anything. There's been no advertising. So like this wasn't like a shtick to get people to visit the community. The town is 4,000 people.
Is it just out there? Can we just go to it?
Yeah, yeah.
What town is it again?
I don't know the town. It's in Georgia. It's in Elbert County, which is the area is there's big granite.
From my knowledge of Elbert County, I know that's a very rural area.
Yeah, Elbert with an E, and I forget what their nickname is in that area, but they it's all granite. It's all granite quarries, and so there's a funny nickname that ties together. But anyways, listen, it's astronomically aligned. It's a clock, calendar, and compass. I feel like it was them trying to make Stonehenge for the future and to say, hey, here's some ideas that we believe in. Maybe, like I said, maybe they're trolling everything today. This thing has a Rosetta Stone built into it because it has 10 different languages that are currently being used for the translation, so you could learn all those languages.
Right.
And then it has 4 dead languages that say the same thing up top. And so I almost think that, like, hey, if everything were to go down and you find all these books, here's also a way to figure out what the books say. I really feel like this is such the most future-minded thing ever. And I don't feel like the capsule is a real thing. I feel like that information. So there's one guy, right, that talked to the representative. He's the guy that works at the quarry. He's the only guy that talked to the guy who paid for this.
Yeah.
And when you watch him being interviewed, yeah, he might be a quirky, weird dude, but it also looks like he has more information than he's saying. And so I think that there is something on his deathbed that it's going to – it's like, hey, when I die, fill in this date or whatever, you know. Like, I feel like the whole Guidestone is in stasis waiting for an event to finish it, and that event hasn't happened yet or something, you know? I don't feel like it was not finished on purpose.
Well, that's interesting, but it seems short-sighted because if they were going like, oh, the world's going to blow up in nuclear attacks because this is Cold War times, why would they believe that this guy on his would
finish it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that this is a hopeful, romantic idea in my head, Because especially like when we did the
well, so that's yours. But what are other people saying? Like outside of like the Illuminati, the new world order kind of stuff.
Yeah, most people. There have been many attempts to legally tear this down. All the different factions, the Christian groups, and
really,
because the religious groups treat this all as Antichrist stuff. That these are rules that are trying to take away from their
God, fucking petty.
Yeah, yeah, and it's I'm glad that they haven't. It hasn't been torn down because there've been big entities that have worked on that. And when it comes to Illuminati and New World Order, there's nothing other than the fear of one world government taking your guns away, you know, all that stuff. And when it says protect all people, you know, some people protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. NRA people that are into this say, oh, this is saying without guns. And so they're trying to take our guns away. Like whatever your fear is, you can apply each commandment to your fear. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm like,
it's just so stupid. Like you could easily apply it to be a proponent for you.
Yeah.
Like protect all. Oh, so we need guns. It's saying to have guns. Like it's so stupid to be like, oh, this thing's anti us.
That's kind of why we haven't done this topic yet, because when you look into it, it leads you nowhere and it shows you how afraid everybody is. And I'm like, I'm glad that, like I said, I'm glad that we talked about that. We all agree with it because it's like these are decent ideas for a future society, not to fix this one. Not that we agreed on that, but you know what I mean? Like that perspective is...
It seems totally harmless to me.
Like how can humanity survive, basically?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also like... But a lot of it, we agreed on it because it's sort of like... just what a level-headed person would think anyway.
I mean, that's how I feel.
I don't know. I'm not really on board with the eugenics stuff, but...
But I'm like...
Yeah, the eugenics stuff aside, it's almost like...
But that's so vague, too, that... I mean...
It's almost like this idea that, like, if murder wasn't illegal, everyone would be murdering everyone.
Yeah.
And it's just like... No, man, we don't murder because it's an awful thing to do. You just know that it's a bad thing.
I think that they could have worded this one better. Guide reproduction wisely, okay? Improving fitness and diversity. I'm like yeah, yeah. I mean, like, well, improving diversity, that's not, is that?
I mean, you could read diversity to mean anything. This is like 1979. It doesn't necessarily carry the same connotation it does right now.
Yeah.
Like, let's just have hot athletes of different races breed with each other.
Yeah, they'll all be fucking morons. Maybe that's why they need the guide stones, because they're like, oh, these people are going to be stupid because we told them that they had to be fit. So we'll send them this also so that they know not to kill each other or whatever.
There's this thing that I was watching that was basically like, hey, Occam's razor, you know, who's just a rich guy who saw Stonehenge and wanted his own.
Right.
And that just bothers me because, yeah, I know that the guy said that he came from a group, but I feel like these ideas are bigger than one person.
Well, maybe. I mean, I could have written any of that shit. I could write up 10 commandments.
What if it's a guy who just has like all this shadowy money, like Tommy Wiseau, who made The Room? What if this is like his The Room? Like, he doesn't know what else to do with his money, and so he has this message he wants to bring to the world.
Yeah.
And instead of making a movie, he made 10 commandments.
I mean, it's interesting because with that perspective, I feel like if I had money and didn't and couldn't do anything else, I'd be like, yeah, I could make this.
I mean, it could just be like a weird troll thing where you're just like, I'm going to put this up. People are going to be weird about it. It'll be funny to watch them. Because it got graffiti. Do you know about the graffiti?
Yeah, most of the graffiti is from different groups of people trying to get their message on it, too.
Right. God, people are so stupid, man. Like, I think John Lennon said it best when he said, Live and Let Die. Did he write that one?
That was Paul McCartney.
God damn it. I think John
As
Lennon...
As Wings, right? That was a Wings song?
I think John Lennon said it best when he said, Band on the Run. Band on the Run.
You know that song? Josie's on a vacation.
Oh, yeah, that John Lennon song.
I always thought that was Paul McCartney because it sounds like Band on the Run. I was like, man, Paul McCartney really has some good songs.
Paul McCartney does have good songs.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite Beatle? Wait,
yeah.
Let me ask that again.
Hey, Steve, welcome to the podcast. Who's your favorite Beatle?
Paul.
The craftsmanship, you know.
Do you really like Paul? Because I do.
Yeah, I like Paul. I mean,
I like Paul as a kid.
If you look at everyone's solo careers, Paul was the only one who could go on like an extended run of like good shit.
Yeah, but Lennon got killed,
though. John had his moments. George had his like... George kind of blew his wad early with like all the songs he wrote that didn't make the Beatles albums.
I Got My Mind Set on You.
Things Must Pass. That was a cover.
It's like that's a cover of what?
That's a cover of it was an old R&B song.
Really?
Yeah, I can't remember. I don't remember the original artist.
Oh shit, that's like my favorite George Harrison song that isn't. Let's wrap up the right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then we can
You got any closing thoughts on all this? Or do you want to go with second?
Just that second on.
I mean, you don't have to go first. I'm just saying. I don't need to put you on the spot.
He's giving you the opportunity to collect your thoughts if you need it.
Okay. Why don't you? I'll ponder for a second.
My thing is, I feel like this was a very responsible, future-minded act that a group of people did. That I'm very proud of. I think that making erecting something that is a clock, calendar, compass, that's such a Mason idea that like the these things should be in harmony, that this thing should work as all these things. And whether you agree with these commandments, I don't know if they're called commandments, it's just what the people from, if you agree with these guides or not, I think that they're on the right path to making something better, because the only way that you can have a better society is by having a bad one, and it keeps getting better. And I'm constantly in awe of our forefathers and the foresight that they had. They didn't get it all right, you know, and that, you know, sure, some of them still had slaves and you know, shit was fucked up. But the ideas that came out of them writing this stuff, that, you know, they were all Masons. They were all future-minded people. They were escaping, you know, shit and trying to make it better. And no matter what we've become, we came from such a great place. And so I like the idea of, this is why I like sci-fi and Star Trek and stuff, is because like I like to constantly think of how our society would be better and be a part of that society. Yeah, so that's me. I think the Georgia Guidestones are not something that you should be afraid of. Get rid of the conspiracy theories from it, and take your own interpretation of what your future should be.
I kind of have to interpret them through the lens of climate change now, because I honestly don't understand why everyone isn't interpreting everything through the lens of climate change, because it's such a threat to human civilization and to the ultimate survival of our species and possibly life on Earth in general. And we've got about 10 years to take massive concerted action to even mitigate the effects, and I think that right now the only plan that our ruling class has is to let millions of people die rather than give up an ounce of their privilege. I think that is the plan for climate change. And so, like, we don't know what civilization or our society is going to look like even 10 years from now, let alone 50, when the effects are really making themselves felt. Like, you know, I'm looking ahead, like, you know, if the water runs out in L.A., I've got family in Michigan, which is surrounded by water. Maybe that's like about the only thing that could get me to move back to Michigan at this point. But you know, you look at these guidelines, and like, you could relate at least half of them to what humanity would need to survive under much more adverse conditions than we were experiencing back in 1979. And, you know, population control might not... You can't argue for, like, getting it down right now without kind of implying that you're going to let millions of people die. But, you know, maybe it would be a good idea if you just, like, let's have some more contraception all over the place. Let's... let's be judicious in our reproduction. Let's not strain the natural systems that we're taxing to the point of no return past their breaking points any more than we already have. I don't know how you do that, but, you know, it's... I don't know. It's hard to wrap my mind around all of it, but you know, it's, if humanity is going to survive, it's going to take a lot more cooperation than the norms of American society currently allow. So maybe whatever is in there about, like, not stopping being terrified of community involvement, and, you know, you can maintain your individualism and still have a connection to the rest of humanity and a willingness to cooperate for mutual benefit and survival without giving up your freedom. I think that's the balance that this adolescent society needs to figure out for itself if we're going to make it. So, whatever that relates to the Georgia Guidestones, there you go.
Yeah,
that's
great.
That's my thoughts.
In honor of Steve being very into music, I'm going to say that, like, everyone who ever starts a band thinks that they're going to be huge, right? No one ever starts a band and goes, like, oh, we'll just play, like, local shows and be fine.
Yeah.
Right.
I think this was a cult, and they had a leader, and the leader said these things, and they were like, this is great. We're going to be the hugest cult ever. This is going to be awesome. Let's pool our money. We'll make, like, a monument, and then we'll all kill ourselves, and when we do, it's going to be, like, the biggest thing ever. And then, like, whatever, the media was just not interested in their cult. They all killed each other. They all killed themselves. And it just kind of got... They got swept under. Yeah, it was, like, not important enough. It wasn't cool enough. They weren't wearing all the same sneakers.
8 hippies died in a van.
Yeah. So they blew their wad making this thing, thinking, like, we're going to be fucking legends, man. And then they just all died, and they left this thing.
And they had Guidestones in their pockets, but nobody knew what it was.
Yeah, they're like, what is this? It wasn't even completed yet, maybe. So it was poor planning on this weird, like, cult startup.
You know what we don't have anymore? We don't have prophets anymore. Like, back in the Bible, if you were a prophet, you, like, got your own book in the Bible.
Right.
Nowadays, it's like, where do people who have an urgent message to share with the world, where do they go?
I mean, they are, like, you the psychics.
Yeah.
Are psychics prophets? A. And B, there are Twitter prophets out there. There's the second Jesus that's back that is prophesizing things. It's great. Anyways, We treat ancient history, we treat their history as myth,
And we treat myth as history.
Yeah.
Like the Bible didn't happen.
And so our lines are crossed. We'll never get them straight. The fucking Bible. Strength in America.
Let's get down to 500 million. Let's just get down to 500 million. Can we just do that? Can we coronavirus ourselves out of here?
Well, the flu does better than the corona. We've already had thousands of flu deaths.
Whatever the new buzzword is, let's just kill like most of the population. It'll be fun. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what traffic would be like with only 500 million people in the world?
And amazing. Random abandoned cars. It's like, oh, this must be one of the affected.
I'll just take this.
I could use this engine.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Steve, thanks for being here. Do you have anything to plug?
Gosh, I wish I did.
Throw your Twitter out there or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. My Twitter account is at Hollywood Steve H, because I'm a late adopter and I never get to Hollywood Steve before
somebody
some other
got it. Who the fuck is Hollywood Steve, damn it?
It was Hollywood. There was a Hollywood Steve and there was a Hollywood underscore Steve.
They're not ripping off you. They just beat you. There's something else, right?
Yeah, it's just like some guy who likes movies or like some random music producer who never made it.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good that they. I mean.
So yeah, Hollywood Steve H is my Twitter account, and I spend most of my time venting my anger about politics instead of tweeting about music, which is what I actually know better. But I have a lot of rage, and that's my only outlet.
Flip it around, dude. Get back to music. Drop all the.
Yeah, politics is a waste of time.
Pretty much.
The Yacht Rock reboot or whatever you want to call it, is that going to be a Starburns Audio thing or like?
I believe we are going independent for that because we can't really guarantee when it's coming out or how often it's going to come out or what we're even going to do with it.
So how do people find that?
There is a Yacht Rock Twitter account at Yacht Rock. It's run by old J.D. Riznar, and it's not super active at the moment because we're not doing anything. But
right.
I would follow that or follow J.D. Riznar at J.D. Riznar for updates on whenever we actually fucking do something again. Because we'll promote it. We just have to, do it in the first place.
Cool. Willie, anything?
Willie Bad Movies on Instagram. Follow me on YouTube, Robotic Willie Roberts. It's such a long thing.
I'll just say I was a guest on the Channel 101 podcast recently. Check that out. I'm an asshole on it. I apologize. I don't know how to find it. Google it or something. Oh, it's on my Twitter. Go to my Twitter. I posted a link to it. Thanks for listening. Subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. I get 2 bonus episodes a week. And remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. Kurt Cobain.
Amen.